I'm so glad you've taken time out of your day to join us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can keep more of what you have. I want you to know that we have been deluged with questions from people wanting to understand how the president's executive order on unemployment insurance is going to play out, because it's been very hard to find information. And there's new information from the U.S. Department of Labor. And first, let me tell you what's going on. So the Congress couldn't reach a deal on extending unemployment insurance with the federal supplement that had been $600. And so that money ran out. And now people have been without that $600 for a couple of weeks now. The president then, in his executive order, said he was going to take money that was for emergencies like hurricanes and floods and earthquakes and use that money to temporarily supplement unemployment insurance for the states. So the amount that is $300. There would be additional per recipient per week. The Labor Department today said that money will only go for a few weeks before it runs out. Likely that the money being diverted from emergency relief in the country for natural disasters would carry on for several weeks, maybe 5 weeks, possibly at most 6 weeks, and then that will stop. But it is up to each state if they want to do the $300 in extra money, because the states will have to rewrite code for their unemployment program, which will take, depending on a state, it'll take from a few weeks to many more to rewrite code to calculate the additional temporary $300. And so there are a number of states that may choose not to participate. So you will only get the $300, number one, if your state does choose to participate. When it starts is unknown. And then another factor, people who are on unemployment right now, who are non-traditional unemployment recipients, many of them, under the rules, will not qualify for this additional $300, even if they did qualify for the older $600 that people received that ended, I think, July 27th, if I remember right. So there are many, many question marks about this, including one other part. Another part of the president's executive order was an ask of states to pony up an additional $100 on top of the money that the feds will be putting up in these diverted dollars. So as of right now, there's not a state out of the 50 that has said that it will do the additional 100. The problem is the states are broke. The states and local governments around the country are out of money because of tax receipts being way down because of the deep recession that has been caused by coronavirus. And the Congress has been at stalemate about giving additional money to the states to provide for relief to people who are suffering financial hardship from coronavirus. And so the $100 that was headlined, it would make it a total of $400, seems like it's going to be vaporware, that is likely to happen if in any state, just a very small handful. So I'm realizing I'm not giving a real positive picture. The real answer is that the stalemate in Washington needs to be broken, because this is just an attempt to put a Band-Aid on a big bleed, and it's not going to be truly effective in terms of providing relief to unemployed citizens. So the hope that I have is that this disagreement in Washington between the politicians will be settled, they will do that word that in Washington is evil these days, compromise, and come up with what would be the next coronavirus relief package. It's time for your questions that you posted for me at clark.com/ask. And Kim, who do you have a question from first?
This is from Lorenza from Georgia. Lorenza says, if I got a ticket for a flight with Southwest Airlines on a promotional deal, can I get my money back if I don't want to fly now or in the future because of the virus?
You cannot get your money back, but you can convert the money into Southwest Rapid Rewards that you then, way down the line, if you do decide you're comfortable flying, you could convert those reward points back into a ticket. Or normally an airline ticket once purchased is never transferable to another person. So if you, Lorenzo, don't ever want to fly, but you have friends or family that are willing to fly, if you convert that unused ticket into Rapid Rewards points, you would then be able to redeem those points for a friend or family member to fly at some point when they're willing to. And the best thing always to do when you've bought an airline ticket and you then have second thoughts or third thoughts and you don't want to go, don't cancel till very late. Give the airline time to decide to cancel your flight. And if they've canceled your flight, then you have a right to get a refund. Even if the airline pushes back, you have a right to that refund. And that's the best way to handle it. Joel?
Clark, Beth in Florida says, I just recently paid down several thousand dollars on my credit cards, and I was looking forward to having a credit score bump. However, as soon as I did that, they all started cutting my credit limits by thousands of dollars. Now my credit score is tanking, and the only thing I did was pay down and off a couple of cards. How can they do that, Clark? I never missed a payment.
Yeah, this is a very irresponsible action being taken by a number of banks, particularly the largest banks in the country have been engaging in cutting off people's credit lines, greatly reducing them, or shutting down your cards completely. And the reason is they are really worried that people are going to start defaulting out on their credit card debt. And it is really upside down, backwards, and stupid for a credit card company with somebody who shows responsible behavior in that they are creating less risk for the bank by paying down balances to then turn around and reduce your limits. It's really key right now for people to have multiple credit cards from different issuers because of what's going on. I saw a new report recently that showed how few solicitations the banks are sending out for credit cards right now, that they're so terrified of people defaulting out on debt. And so what is happening to you is you just got caught in the crossfire. And what you should do as quickly as you can is apply for a new card somewhere else so that you add to your available credit. And specifically, again, go look at credit unions. Kim.
Marlene in New York says, my husband passed away in December of last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. And I am splitting my husband's life insurance income amongst our five grandchildren. Two of the grandchildren are 15 and 13, so I don't want them to actually receive the money until they're 18. What's the best way to set this up so they might actually earn some interest on the money in the years before they turn 18? P.S. I don't believe CDs are the way to go.
Okay, so with a 15 and 13-year-old, you could consider opening a custodial investment account. And I don't know how much money. Did she indicate how much money each grandchild's receiving, Kim?
She did. I think it's approximately $3,000.
Okay, so that would be a perfect amount of money to open a custodial investment account for the 15-year-old and another one for the 13-year-old. With one of the three big discounters, Vanguard, Schwab, or Fidelity, because $3,000 is enough for any of the three. And you can invest that money for them, knowing there's always risk in the short term with investing. But at the ages they are, you've got a long track in front of them that they can have money and have it invested. So there are a number of strategies that I can recommend to you, particularly if the money stays invested longer. I like the Fidelity Zero funds. Schwab has a program where they will actually manage the money for you at no cost per account. And that those are the intelligent portfolios. And then with Vanguard, you could put the money, if you were looking for potentially a shorter window than what the Fidelity Zeros would be for, look at the Vanguard Star Fund for the 15-year-old and 13-year-old's money, knowing again that in the short term, these accounts could lose value as stock markets go up and down, but longer term, you'd be building quite a nest egg for the two teenagers. Joel?
Clark Kirk in California says, my family is moving from California to Hawaii. We would like to bring my mom and have her live with us. She's open to the
idea.
Can
I go too?
I mean, I think you're invited. So Kirk says, she wants to give us a significant amount of money to help buy a larger house when we get there. Is there any way for this to work without significant tax consequences?
Yes. So there are several strategies where if she wants to help with the purchase of a house and buy a bigger one, there are many, many ways to do this. One is that she could essentially hold a second mortgage that if she wants you to have the money, a portion of it's forgiven each year, and that would have no tax consequence at all. If the total amount of money that she has is less than, let's say, several million dollars, you don't even have to worry about that because there's not going to be an estate tax issue for her. She can just give you the money and it would count towards the total value of her estate later, and there'd be no tax implication for you or for her. But if she does have a lot of money, then the best way to do it is with her holding a second that she forgives a portion of each year. She can forgive $15,000 to each of you each year, which would mean pretty quickly the money she's contributing would be totally forgiven in less than 7 years.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Kaylee is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Kaylee.
Hi. How are you doing, Clark?
Great. Thank you, Kaylee. You have a mess on your hands, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Do you want me to let you know about it?
Please.
Okay. So, my grandmother, she loved going to Tennessee, and, she went there every year and she got offered timeshares, and she called her sons, my dad and my uncle, and they said, no, don't do it. And well, she did it and put it in their names, and they're complaining about them all the time because, I mean, timeshares, they have maintenance fees. If you don't use your week and you want to use another week or go somewhere else, there's a fee for that. And I heard them saying that sometimes, like, you can inherit them. And I don't want anything to do with them. And do I have to be in fear of that?
Yeah. Okay. So this is a situation I've never heard in any question anybody's ever asked me about timeshares. So your grandma, thinking she was doing a good thing, gave her two sons timeshares in their names that they didn't want. They
yep.
have them. They don't really want them. And now you're worried you're going to inherit.
Yes.
And it can happen that a timeshare would be passed on as an inheritance. Make sure that it is not in, does your dad have a will?
Yes, he does.
That the timeshare is not accounted for, that it's something that even, did he have a lawyer prepare the will?
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask.
So if he had a lawyer do it, the lawyer can acknowledge the timeshare and say that no family member will inherit, or whatever the wording would be in the state your dad lives in, so that it's not something that would then pass on to another family member. It would, though, potentially be an obligation of your dad's estate at the time he would pass away. So whoever was the executor of the estate might have to deal with the whole process of renouncing that timeshare or attempting to do so. The crazy thing about timeshares is that it's an obligation that once you're in it, there's really no way to check out of it easily. And that's why when the lawyer does a revision to the will, if that has not been accounted for, it should be accounted for the best way that lawyer drawing the will knows how to do that, so that you in no way get stuck with it. Are you your dad's executor named in his will?
I'm not the oldest, but I'll tell you, I'm more responsible than the oldest, so who knows? I could be it.
All right, well, these are questions you should ask your dad.
Yes, for sure. So basically, what I'm hearing, it's better for the lawyer to explicitly put in there that I wouldn't inherit it or my brother wouldn't inherit it.
Well, actually, I don't want to put words in like that. It's really the lawyer hopefully will know how best to protect you and your brother from any liability or responsibility for that timeshare at the time of your father's passing. And again, that procedure would vary by state, and that's why the lawyer is so key to it. But here's one thing I think you pointed out that I want everyone to know. Never out of the kindness of your heart feel like you're giving somebody a great thing, giving them a timeshare. Don't give them a timeshare. In fact, best not to buy one yourself. It's my pleasure to welcome you here to the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. As more and more of us are pinched financially, we're looking for ways to reduce ongoing expenses. And I want to tell you, there's some real price deals right now going on for prepaid cell phone plans that can reduce your monthly expenses quite a bit. Let me start with what's a shockingly good deal from Boost Mobile, which is the name of what's going to be the nation's fourth cell phone carrier. Now that Sprint's gone, the Dish Network people who offer the satellite TV own Boost Mobile now, and they have put out their new plans. One of the things they found in their research is a huge percent of Americans, maybe close to half, use very little data per month on their cell phone plans. And so they have a $10 a month plan and a $15 a month plan that I want to tell you about if you are a light volume user of data on a cell phone. The $10 a month plan and the $15 a month plan as well both give you unlimited talk and text. The $10 plan gives you 1 gig of data a month, which, according to research, is enough for perhaps as many as 1 in 4 Americans use a very small amount of data per month, and then your whole cell phone bill would be $10. Pretty good, right? Now, if you use more but not a huge amount, the $15 a month plan with unlimited talk and text includes 2 gigs of data. So that gives you an opportunity, with most people paying substantially more than that per month for cell phone service, to dramatically reduce that ongoing monthly expense. But let's say you need unlimited data. There are two deals on offer right now I want you to know about. One of them is by Metro by T-Mobile. Metro by T-Mobile is T-Mobile's discount brand, prepaid brand. And unlimited data on their 5G network, and where 5G is not available, it would be 4G. Unlimited data, unlimited talk, unlimited text is $40 a month. That is an extremely good price for a plan with unlimited data. If you like AT&T, AT&T prepaid, which AT&T has been of late pushing more aggressively with their prepaid plan, they have a very aggressive offer that you have to sign up with for by this weekend, at least as of now, where you get unlimited talk, text, and data for $50 a month if you set up autopay. So if you go to AT&T.com, click on the prepaid icon across the top, look through the plans, and you'll see a very confusing one that says $75 a month, and then it'll say, but it's $50 a month if you do the auto pay. So you got $10, $15 for lighter volume users, $40 from Metro by T-Mobile for unlimited data customer, and then $50 a month on prepaid for AT&T unlimited data. These are all very, very good offers. You know, so often all the advertising is based on family plans. And there's a huge percent of Americans that buy their own cell service one line at a time. And so those family plans are useless. So I want you to know that the marketplace is offering more options for you to get a deal if you are someone who's just buying and paying a bill for yourself. It's time for your questions you posted for me at clark.com/ask. And producers Kim and Joel alternate. And who's up?
That would be me. And this question is from Carolyn in Louisiana. She says, with so much controversy regarding the social media app TikTok, what kind of security risks and concerns do I need to worry about since my teens have had it on their iPhones? We're all connected through family sharing, and I had them delete it. Is this enough, or should I be worried about something else?
So this is a very good question, and there's a new report that TikTok was engaging in activity that was against the rules of the app stores, where they were tracking all kinds of data on TikTok users. And so TikTok is a threat geopolitically because of our ongoing unhappiness with communist China. And then on top of it, TikTok collecting information that is deep. So as far as whether or not you have an issue with your child's iPhone or with others' iPhones, it is unknown at this point what data in the deep dive TikTok has gathered and whether or not there's other issues involved. One of the concerns is with the way the Chinese Communist Party rules is that they may use information that they have gathered from TikTok to engage potentially in blackmail or espionage. The reality is almost all TikTok users are kids, so I don't think there's much you could blackmail a kid with, and certainly not espionage. So TikTok has been a problem, is a problem, and it is something that parents need to be aware of. And my son, who is a TikTok user, I've talked to him about it, and he's like, Dad, I'm not doing anything that the communists are worried about. You can tell our dinner conversations that he called them the communists. And so every family needs to have a conversation make their kids aware, and then you'll have to figure out under your own roof what you choose to do and what you allow your kids to do with using TikTok or not. Joel?
Clark Sarah in Wisconsin.
Aren't you glad your kids are too young for you to have to have a TikTok conversation yet?
Yes, I am. I'm sure it's coming sooner than I think, though.
About 5 years.
Okay, all right. I'll be preparing myself. Sarah in Wisconsin says, I'm an elementary teacher getting ready to go back to school. I currently do not have short-term disability insurance, but due to COVID-19, I'm now considering getting some. Do you think this is a good idea? And if so, do you recommend me going through my school district, or should I find an independent insurance company?
So I'd like for you to have long-term disability that you own independently, but short-term disability, if it's available through the school district, go ahead and just sign up with it. It will be the quickest way for you to obtain short-term disability. You won't have to go through any kind of medical underwriting. And if the goal is to have it now because of the current threat of coronavirus, then the easiest, quickest path of least resistance is for you to get the short-term disability through your employer. And it's my hope for you that you do, in fact, stay safe and healthy. Kim?
Tom in California says, I'm looking for a resource that shows executive salaries and compensation for nonprofit organizations. I want to make sure that my donation money goes to a good cause and not to someone's inflated salary.
That is something that has received more and more attention lately. Has there been these crazy reports of individuals at nonprofits that are earning multi-million dollar a year checks? So as to whether, you can find news reports about the outrages of some of the salaries people are getting at some nonprofits. But what I think is a better, more thorough way to evaluate is to see overall how a charity spends money efficiently or inefficiently. There are three organizations that track various charities. Not any of the three track everybody, so that's why it's important to tell you about all three. They are Charity Watch, Charity Navigator, and Give. They're all .orgs, and you can go there and you'll see how efficiently charities spend money. They each use a little bit different criteria. You can read the criteria they use and see which one, if there's one in particular you like better than the others, that one would be the one that has the most credibility with you for determining the efficiency of a charity with your hard-earned money that you kindly want to donate. Joel?
Clark Miguel in Texas says, I'm looking to buy a used Tesla. I got a couple questions. First, is buying used even a good option? What are some pitfalls I should be aware of when I'm shopping? And what price range would make for a good deal? And also, do you have an idea of what year makes the most sense? Like, would a 2012 be too old?
So if you buy a very old Tesla, it's not going to come with a lot of the extreme AI and self-driving technology that the later models have. You have to buy a 2017 or later in order to be able to get the latest technology, because the vehicles will have the hardware necessary for the software updates to give that to you. If you buy a much older Tesla, you need to consider whether you want to buy that independently or buy only from Tesla. Because the older models, we don't know how the battery systems are going to work. And if the batteries go out, you have a massive expense dealing with that. And so if you buy a model years 12 through 15 of a Tesla, I would say buy it from Tesla's used vehicle sales, where you get their used vehicle warranty. Because the only place that can fix a Tesla is Tesla, and you'd be in quite a fix or quite a bind if you buy an older one that's probably got fairly high miles, the battery pack dies on you, then you've bought trouble, not a fun driving experience. So I've been fascinated, though, Joel, how many people just every day are talking about Tesla and looking at Teslas is it has become very much part of public consciousness. And the great thing this year is there's going to be a bunch of new electric vehicles from a variety of competitors as they get more and more affordable and priced like gas engine vehicles. Dane is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Dane.
Hey, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you. You have a dream you want to pursue. Tell me about this.
We live in the Rocky Mountain region, right outside of Denver. We are aiming to...
So you're already living your dream.
Yeah, yeah. But we want a little bit, live a little bit closer to the mountains. Yeah, the idea is to get our home paid off here in the greater Denver area and then move out to the mountains with a kind of like a vacation type cabin home. I'm not looking to be extravagant, just something real modern and real modest, and trying to get that settled so we can utilize it for family fun on the weekends. And then second part of the question is, would you recommend Airbnb style stuff with it? You know what I mean?
Sure, where you would turn it into an income-producing property when you're not using it.
Correct. Nothing overly utilized in that way, but it's a possibility.
So let's talk your financial picture. So right now, the house that you live in the Denver metro area, how much is it worth versus what you owe on it?
It is worth $410,000 approximately. And I owe $57,000 on it.
My goodness, that's fantastic. You are as close as could be. You're 85% mortgage debt free. You're fantastic the way you're living.
Yeah, it's just our goal is to get this house paid off. I'm 42 years old, and our goal is to get this land up in the mountains as a reward for owning our home.
So I'm going to turn this on its head, because what resources do you have to buy the land and build a cabin or home or whatever it is you would build in the mountains? Is that money you're going to have to borrow, or do you have money in savings, or what are you thinking?
That's my big question to you. We could afford that if we don't have a home mortgage, you know?
Well, I'd reverse this. So buying land, if you're talking about buying land that you have to put a structure on, the borrowing for that is cost prohibitive and difficult to find. The money you need to build a cabin or a home is hard to get, you know, when you're talking about a construction loan on a second home. The smart move in your case would be to do a cash out refinance of the loan you already have and step back from your psychological desire to get rid of that last 57 grand, that if the idea is to have a second property, that you use your primary residence as the bank for that. So that you go in reverse, essentially. How much would it cost you for the land and the structure you want to build?
The land, we're looking at $30,000 to $40,000 is our range.
Okay.
And the cabin, I would expect to spend like $20,000 to $30,000 on that. That's something that I was going to build. I mean, I need to buy supplies, but we're talking a real small, modern-looking thing. I'm not talking about a huge, massive structure. I just want like a 16 by 16 kind of log-style thing. And I think I'm capable of organizing it and putting in the labor for it. The journey getting to the end result will be part of the fun, in my opinion.
All right. So I know what you should be doing here. What I would do is I would take advantage of today's low rates, do a refinance, and let's say you refinance for just to build in a little cushion in case some of this ends up being more than you expect. Refinance for $150,000. You'll still have extremely low debt on your principal residence versus what the value of the property is, and it will give you the money you need at an extremely low rate for you to buy the land and build the cabin and get that whole thing done. And the way you are with money, maybe that larger balance that you end up with on that mortgage, you do a refi into a 10 or 15 year loan, which will get you an extra low rate. And all this is possible because of how you've handled your money to this point. And congratulations to you on that. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.